Welcome back to another episode of Diagnosing a Killer, The Mental Breakdown. I'm Kenna.
And I'm Coel.
And we just did a thing. That's so millennial, Coda.
It is. Oh my god. We were just on a live.
Yes.
And we had a really positive response. I feel like people were communicating really well. I liked seeing the community kind of chat with each other a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. It was really cool to see the different areas that people were coming from.
Yeah.
And just such a positive group of people.
Yeah, I think honestly. So.
Great conversations. We will be doing that again on Friday. That's going to be on Whatnot as well. You'll hear this on Monday. Mm-hmm. And on Friday, it's actually going to be more merch forward. And there's actually a link in the post about the live where you can get a discount. What did you say it was?
Yeah, I believe if you're a first-time user and you sign up through our code, which is whatnot.com/invite/diagnosing a killer, you should receive a $15 off your first purchase.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, that'd be like totally essentially a free shirt.
Almost, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're going to be pushing some upcycled stuff. I think our intention is to have them on an auction. So essentially it's like live eBay. But there are also our new t-shirts, the ones that, you know, have never been used. Those will also be in our buy it now, or what they call a bin. Hmm. And you can buy that anytime this week leading up to the show. Those, I think there's only one style of each of those posted right now. So if you want to snag those before the live, I suggest you do so. They should be on our page when you go to Whatnot, and you go to Diagnosing a Killer, there should be a little link that says, like, available now or marketplace, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And if you do see a design that you see and you're like, oh, I want that, and then you wait till Friday, it's not there, we can always remake it, but you would just need to order that through our Instagram, so through our forms.
Yes,
the short forms. Or just send us a DM.
Yeah, for sure.
It works either way.
Yeah, exactly. And I understand that the forms can be kind of complicated for some, so yeah, if you see something on there and you're like, well, I don't really see it offered in pink, mm-hmm. or I don't see it offered in this specific combination of a design, just message us, and we love, love, love making custom stuff for you guys. So
for sure. Speaking of DMs, I actually just wanted to read a quick one that we received the other day that I thought was really nice. So this is from a listener called Aimee. And Aimee says, hi, I just wanted to send you guys a message from all the way across the pond in the UK.
Hmm.
I'm a psychology master's student in Cardiff, and my boyfriend lives in Dallas, Texas, working in voice acting, and we both love the podcast. We tend to fall asleep on the phone to FaceTime, and something that we used to do was he would put on I Survived episodes for me to fall asleep to.
Oh,
I love that.
I love I Survived.
She said, when we finished all those episodes, we were trying to find something else we could listen to / watch together when we had to bed, and I stumbled on your podcast. I'm hoping at some point to pursue a research in clinical psychology and do a PhD in the States, and hearing your podcast has honestly been such a hyperfixation of mine for the last few months and led me to realize I have a keen interest in forensic psychology.
Ooh.
My boyfriend and I wanted to let you know that we absolutely love listening to the show, and we wanted to share how much we enjoy hearing them together, even when we're far apart.
Aww,
just
thanks,
made me so happy.
I love that.
There's also a follow-up message that has a case suggestion, and she had also said they echo the hello every time they start an episode because it always gives them a serotonin boost. And I was like, oh, that makes me feel so
good.
Love
that. Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, no, definitely love hearing those messages from you guys. Mm-hmm. And we try to reply to every single one of them. And we really appreciate you guys reaching out because it makes our day to know that we make your day sometimes.
Yeah.
Before we begin our Menti Breaky, which actually needs to go on a bracelet. I don't know why. I haven't done that yet.
Can we do one that says, like, Menti Breaky, but it's got, like, a little cup of tea or, like, a coffee cup?
Sure.
Like, Brecky, like, Breaky?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Do you want to give everyone our handles or social media before we start?
Sure. You can catch us on social media anywhere at Diagnosing a Killer other than X, formerly known as Twitter, which is @KillerDiagnosis. We also have a Venmo, a PayPal, a Cash App. We also have a Patreon. You get an added bonus episode for tier 2 and 3 Patreon members. Tier 1 also gets access to ad-free episodes.
Yeah.
What else? Is that it?
Just get your tickets for the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival that is happening on July 12th through the 14th in Denver, Colorado. We are so excited to be there. And if you join our live on Whatnot on Friday, you will see that we have made koozies specifically for this occasion.
Yes.
And we only have a couple of them. So come join in and try to get you a koozie. If not, I can always make more, of course. But
yeah. They're limited release.
They are limited release.
They're just for this year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to get on into it?
Let's do it.
So today for our mental breakdown, we are going to be talking about one scam artist by the name of Annabelle Natalie Gibson.
A scam artist?
I was going to do like scam artists like and do a couple of them, but this story was so long, I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to do her.
Okay.
So I will probably be doing another scam artist eventually. But I don't think I want to do, like, this is, like, a part one, because it's just one story. So
yeah.
I guess I'll just name the episode her name. Okay. Not sure yet.
Not sure. We'll see.
We'll see. You guys already know, but we don't know yet. Content warning. This episode contains depictions of deceit, manipulation, and taking advantage of vulnerable populations. If this episode is not for you, we encourage you to find another one of our episodes. Remember, your mental health is very important, and we love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
So, yeah. No moita or anything.
No moita. Oh.
Annabelle Natalie Gibson was born on October 8th, 1991, in Launceston, Tasmania, to her mother, Natalie Gibson. So her middle name was her mom's first name.
Tasmania, that's interesting.
In Australia.
In Australia.
The identity of her father is unknown. Well, at least to me, I couldn't find it. But Natalie would later marry one Andrew Dahl Bellow when she would change her last name from Gibson. As far as I could tell, Belle had one older brother, Nick, who was 3-ish years older than her. According to interviews that Belle has given, she would leave the family home at the age of 12 and begin living with a classmate of hers.
Hmm. At 12?
Yes.
Okay.
Keep in mind, she's a scam artist. So essentially, this sounds bad, but you really can't fully believe everything she says.
That's fair. It's the way I feel about Ezra McCandless. I feel like everything out of that girl's mouth is just a lie.
A lie. And when you do it for so long, people, why wouldn't they think that, you know?
Yeah.
Belle would later leave this home as well, according to her, and begin living with a family friend following this. There is not much known about Belle's early childhood, but she would attend Wynnum State High School in Manly, Queensland. However, she would drop out in grade 10. Belle was also noted as stating that she was homeschooled in a later interview. So again.
Which is it?
I
know you're, I mean, not that you're too young, but a lot of people don't remember the show, but Clone High was on MTV for a little bit. And it's essentially like exactly how it sounds. They cloned historical figures, but they're all in high school together, so they're very angsty. And one was Abraham Lincoln. There's like Abraham Lincoln, Gandhi, Joan of Arc, Cleopatra, and JFK, and so they're having, like, a presidential, what am I trying to say?
Debate?
No, like a...
Like they're running?
Yeah.
Like a candidacy?
Student council?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah.
Kind of stuff, right? Like, president of student council?
Oh, okay.
And so, but it's JFK and Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, God.
And I'm sorry, this is way too long.
This tangent is too long.
But it just reminds me of, they had these ad campaigns against each other, and JFK's is all like, last year, Abraham Lincoln claimed he was 15 years old.
Oh my God.
This year, he claims he's 16. Which is it, Abe? Better get your story straight.
That's a classic.
That's what I wanted to say. Better get your story straight.
Yeah, that is so funny. Oh my God. I can't believe I don't know about that.
Ugh, Clone High. And I think they want to revamp it, but I have no idea when or where.
Yeah. So, shortly after leaving high school, Belle would begin working for some time as a trainee for a catering supply company named PFD Food Services in Lytton. However, social media around this time seemed to suggest that by late 2008, Belle had relocated to Perth, Western Australia.
Did she just say that?
Which is it, Belle? I don't know.
Which is it, Belle?
This is just, these are all the things that, like, I'm like, I'm going to give you all the information. You choose what you want to believe and what you don't.
Fair, yeah. I like cases like that, though.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, you know, decipher on your own.
I don't know. You tell me.
I wasn't there.
So here in Perth, Western Australia, a 17-year-old Belle would become involved in the skateboarding culture and would begin actively participating on social media. She wanted to be, like, an influencer.
She was one of the new influencers. She's not like others.
In 2009, Belle would meet a man by the name of Clive Rothwell, and the two would shortly bring a little boy into the world. Oliver Corbett.
Oliver. Okay, I was like literally like, I love Clive, but now I love Oliver, too.
I love Corbett.
Corbett's
I've
cute.
I've always told Casey that. I'm like, if Corbett? I have a boy, I kind of want to name him Corbett. Yeah.
Corbett.
C-O-R-B-E-T-T. Corbett.
Oh, like, yeah, like Corbet. Like sorbet. There, I've ruined it.
No, there's two T's at the end.
If I had a little girl, I wanted to name her Margot.
Oh, that's cute.
But traditionally spelt like Margot, you know, G-O-T.
Oh, yeah. I had a friend in college that was named that.
I love that name, Margot.
So around the same time that Belle would have her little boy, she would also begin showing up on social media and gaining a lot of traction surrounding her healthy living mindset and tips and tricks to maintain your health.
Okay.
So she became like a health influencer. In August of 2013...
Nobody can see me, but I rolled my eyes. Really? I'm surprised you couldn't hear me with how hard I rolled my eyes.
I heard you roll your eyes.
Sounds like two marbles rolling around.
That's funny. In August of 2013, at the age of 21, Belle would release her self-made app by the name of The Whole Pantry. After the app was launched, The Whole Pantry was reportedly downloaded 200,000 times within its first month.
The Whole Pantry sounds really familiar.
You probably know this, like about this at least. So this app would subsequently be voted Apple's best food and drink app of 2013. Like,
damn.
It got really popular really fast.
Okay, so definitely I've heard of this. The Whole Pantry.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So the app consisted of healthy recipes and also wellness/lifestyle information that everyone seemed to really love.
Mm-hmm.
And this was during that time, I feel like, I graduated high school in 2013, if anyone is wondering. But I feel like around this time, that was when a lot of, like, influencers started becoming a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, now that there's so much presence on social media, people are now more self-conscious about how they look, because these people that they see are really fit and really, you know, active and all this stuff. So I feel like everyone was eating this up, so to speak, this healthy lifestyle and mindset, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this was like, Vine honestly, was a thing, so. Unfortunately, the perfect time for her to launch something like this.
Vine was a thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, of course.
So Belle would quickly be reached out to by big companies wanting her to be interviewed and have her share more of her trade secrets about the app and her lifestyle. Like, the clout. She has, like, the biggest head.
Yeah, for sure.
She would soon after sign a book deal with Lantern Books and would begin creating a tabletop cookbook.
Hmm.
So, it was almost like a cookbook meets, like, autobiography. Like, she would, like, put, like, certain things in her about herself in there and then be like, this is why I lean towards this, you know, lifestyle change or whatever it was.
But she has no education in nutrition at all.
Not that I know of. No, because she dropped out of high school.
Right.
You know, couldn't really tell if she went to college or not. It was almost like she was, like, self-educated.
Yeah.
Around this time, during these interviews that Belle was giving, she would shockingly announce that she had suffered from malignant brain, blood, spleen, uterine, liver, and kidney cancers.
What?
Which she had attributed to a reaction to the Gardasil cervical cancer vaccine.
Okay.
So she's saying, I did the Gardasil vaccine, and I got all of these, it was like metastasized throughout my whole body, I got all of these cancers. But that was in the past, and now I'm using this healthy lifestyle to, like, get out, like, it helps me out of that, essentially.
Okay, but she's, again, is this like, she's an anti-vaxxer?
No, she's not. Well, not at this point, not openly, at least.
I see, okay.
Yeah. So she's just saying, like, this is what happened, and I'm now recovering from this.
Okay. I used to have whole body cancer.
Exactly.
Okay.
In the book, there is a quote that references this as well. Quote, "You're dying. You have 6 weeks, 4 months tops." End quote. According to Belle, this is how the doctor broke the news to her in July of 2009 that she had terminal brain cancer.
And how old was she then?
In 2009, she was 2019.
Okay.
Because she was born in 91.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Also written in the book, quote, "I was empowering myself to have my own life through nutrition, patience, determination, and love," end quote.
Hmm.
So she's essentially saying, like, yeah, I got this really shitty diagnosis, but because of the things that I'm showing you in this book, I was able to come out of it on the other side.
Okay.
So essentially, like, almost leading towards, like, holistic medicine.
Yeah, but through nutrition.
Yes.
Or seemingly.
Lifestyle change, yeah. So in order to continue the growth in her company, Belle would begin raising money to donate to multiple different charities, including maternal health care in developing nations, medical support for children with cancer, and school funding in Africa.
Okay, but these are all, like, building her brand.
Exactly. These donations to charity reached nearly $300,000, which is really impressive.
Wow.
When her book was launched in November of 2014, it stated in the preface that Belle had been, quote, stable for 2 years now with no growth of the cancer, end quote. So she was recovering, right? She's completely cancer-free at this point.
Well, in remission, right? Because they never claim cancer-free.
Exactly. However, Belle's story would quickly become noticed as inconsistent as she would turn to social media stating that her cancer had spread to her liver and kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
This is 3 months prior to the book release. And then the book comes out stating that she's been in remission.
Okay.
She also posted on the Whole Pantry's Facebook page that her cancer had spread to her brain, blood, spleen, and uterus, similarly to what she was saying in the interview.
Hmm.
That had happened in the past, right? But now she's saying it's happened again. She has also previously claimed to have undergone heart surgery several times around this time. Like, she claimed around this time.
Mm-hmm.
And to have momentarily died on the operating table. So she was like, yeah, I also had fucking heart surgery a couple times.
What?
Died. Yeah. Came back.
Yeah, right? I mean,
it could happen.
I just, given her age, and, you know, and of course, when things like this happen to young people, they do have a greater chance of surviving through
sure.
something like this.
And they definitely they have, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Thanks.
Good.
But that they have younger bodies and minds, and they tend to remain positive, right? And I'm sure reading her story and stuff, maybe that is part of it, is because she seemingly has a really great outlook on life, that positivity could be a supporting factor in her recovery.
That's true. And also, like you mentioned, her age, it's not out of the realm of possibilities or abnormal for someone of that age to kind of want to tell everyone, like, the gory details, if you will. Like,
yeah.
They're okay with sharing it. They're not, like, shame, you know, whatever. You know,
yeah.
It would be shame for a certain age. But still, it's like, oh, I'm going to maybe even exaggerate a little bit on my struggles because I'm a teenager.
I want to be, like, inspo to other people.
Yeah. Among other things that she would claim around this time, Belle stated that she had had a stroke in the past, but she was unable to relay the names or information of the doctors that had treated her previously in any of these cases. Like, who treated you? Oh my god, they cured your cancer? I would like to know who that is.
Right?
Oh, I can't remember.
Okay, Dee Dee.
And although she claimed to have undergone heart surgery, Belle did not appear to have any scars. However, that would be a very personal area where the scar would be, right?
That was kind of a point I was going to bring up. I'd be like, well, did she have any scars? But, like, who goes around being like, oh, you had to open a heart surgery? Where are your scars?
Let me see your scars.
Give me your scars.
Yeah. Even though people had begun to realize that Belle's stories were not exactly lining up, the Whole Pantry was still releasing statements regarding the benefits of exercise, healthy eating, and maintaining a positive mindset.
I mean, like, why wouldn't you, though?
That's your whole brand.
Well, it's not just your brand, but, like, it makes good sense.
Yeah.
To take care of yourself, eat healthy, exercise, things like that, right?
Yes, for sure. The posts coming from the Whole Pantry were uncontroversial and were widely acknowledged as conducive to holistic well-being. However, on her personal Instagram account and other social media, Belle was now promoting more controversial alternative practices, such as anti-vaccination, the consumption of non-pasteurized raw milk, and Gerson therapy.
What's Gerson therapy?
So I'm glad you asked, because this type of therapy is alleged to treat cancer patients with a specific diet and nutritional supplies rather than medical treatment.
Okay.
So it's just like a holistic way of, like, treating cancer that doesn't involve medicine.
We did have a person that was close to our family who was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and they did nothing but holistics, raw fruit, veg, not raw maybe, but as close to natural, organic foods as possible. And I think she lived for 4 years that way before she passed.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. And, you know, to each his own. Do what you think is appropriate, you know. Yeah. But it was just, at this point, it was kind of odd that, like, her brand is supporting all of these ideas that are seemingly uncontroversial, and then she has all these differing, if you will, opinions on her personal social media.
Yeah.
So going back to the Gerson therapy, this had actually been similarly promoted by another Australian wellness blogger by the name of Jessica Ainscough, who would ultimately pass away in February of 2015 after her long battle with cancer.
Yeah.
As far as the anti-vaccination posts that Belle was releasing, this caused a negative impact on her social media. Because at this point, about 97% of Australian children under the age of 7 were vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And federal vaccination policy was heavily penalizing parents who refused to vaccinate their children.
Yeah.
This being the case, Belle's followers were most likely on the unapproving side of these kinds of posts. And lastly, the sale of raw milk for human consumption is actually illegal in Australia. And there had been reports of 5 children dying from the consumption of it in 2014.
Yeah, I heard that too. Where else was there a milk hustle? There was a milk hustle like that. Maybe it was U.S.
Yeah.
But something that it is, yeah, illegal to sell unpasteurized milk.
Yeah, for human consumption. Because mm-hmm. it's dangerous. There's just, you know, bacteria and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So during this time, people were starting to scrutinize Belle's posts. And allegations would also emerge that the charitable donations raised by her company in 2013 and 14 had not been given to their intended causes.
Oh, okay, Amber Heard. Yeah. All right.
Belle would deny the accusations, but Fairfax Media would state that she had, quote, failed to hand over proceeds solicited in the name of 5 charities, end quote. And that Belle had, quote, grossly overstated the company's total donations to different causes, end quote. So it's like, she just lied and she stole all this money and yeah. she used it for herself and didn't give it to the charities.
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely, that's so gross.
It's so gross.
Like, oh yeah, like all the proceeds will go to St. Jude's. And then like, she's you like, don't.
Plot twist, I changed my name to St. Jude. Look at the birth certificate.
I was 12.
Seriously.
You're probably already aware that craft beers have exploded in popularity over the past decade. But what you might not know is that there are thousands of awesome craft beers being produced by these new microbreweries every day. With Craft Beer Club, each order will showcase 2 breweries from different regions in the U.S. and includes 4 beer styles with a brand new box with each shipment. You will also receive publications that detail the history about the featured breweries, tasting notes, pairing options, and maybe even a little trivia. Click on our link in the show notes and receive an exclusive offer today with Craft Beer Club.
2 other charities would also confirm to the Australian newspaper that Belle's company had used their names in fundraising drives, but had either failed to deliver the donations or had inadequately accounted for the funds.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all of this, in 2014, Cosmopolitan had awarded Belle its 2014 Fun Fearless Female Social Media Award,
oh no.
fully believing that she was struggling with all of the ailments that she said she had.
Jesus.
In early 2015, it was estimated that about $1 million had been made in sales of the Whole Pantry app and Belle's book.
What?
Belle would continue talking about her battle with cancer on a blog of the Whole Pantry, but, quote, doubts about her claims surfaced after she failed to deliver a promised $300,000 donation to a charity, end quote. It's gross.
But she made like $1 million that year.
Yeah.
So she can't donate $30,000?
$300,000. But she had promised to donate that much. And
already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In March of 2015, media reports stated that it could only be confirmed that an estimated $7,000 of the previously claimed $300,000 had been donated to a total of 3 charities, with at least 1,000 of the $7,000 being donated only after Belle became aware of the Fairfax investigations of her crimes.
Oh my god.
So she's like, oh, give the money. There's yeah. money. Take it.
Somebody. Yeah. She's like, yeah, she also uses donate and pledge interchangeably.
Yes. Another $1,000 had actually been donated under Clive Rothwell's name rather than Belle's or the company's.
What?
So he's helping her out too. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Following these accusations becoming public, the Whole Pantry would amend their registrar to reflect what was actually donated.
Sure.
Obviously.
You're right.
Also in March of 2015, the parents of a young child that was struggling with brain cancer, whom Bell had befriended, would come forward and state that they were unaware that Bell had been claiming to be fundraising for their child's treatment on their behalf.
Yeah. That is so fucked up.
Like, this is a child with actual brain cancer, and you're profiting off this. You make me laugh. Now I sound like a dick.
Okay. No, yeah, they're profiting.
That's
off
the quote, like one of my favorite quotes from The Grinch that she just said, and that's why it made me laugh. She's like, and the child mentioned a check. So good.
Long fingers.
This is horrible. The family reported to never receiving any funds from Bell or the Whole Pantry, and had suspected that Bell had been using information learned from the family's experiences to create a more realistic story for her own diagnosis.
Disgusting! Oh my god.
She's like, yeah, my brain hurts, like, right here. Because that's probably what he said, you know, or whatever.
That is infuriating.
It's sickening. As the controversy grew, people were beginning to raise questions about Apple, Penguin Publishing, and the Australian media's lack of due diligence at first knowledge of Bell's potential fraud. Because everyone is... Now this investigation's open, and people are still not doing anything about it.
Right.
Apple responded to this and declined to remove the Whole Pantry app from sale, stating that their only concern was the functionality of the app. However, the Whole Pantry would soon after be removed from the inclusion in the Apple Watch launch. This is right when the Apple Watch was coming out.
Yeah.
So they had all these, like, because it was a health thing, right? So they had all these ads that included, like, the Whole Pantry Apple Watch. Like, when you get it, you can download it or whatever. Apple would shortly after remove the app from the Apple Store and would also remove it from all of the Apple Watch, like, promo material.
I mean, I get what they're saying. It's like, well, we just host the app. We don't know about, like...
Yeah, like, that's not me.
...what it does or, like, any of that, or who owns it and stuff. But I think it, yeah, if they want to consider themselves to be an honorable brand, they should respect those thoughts, those ideas, and who's behind that.
For sure. Apple actually never has publicly commented regarding their reasoning behind removing the app. They're just like, well, it's removed now. Don't worry about me.
Took it off. No, yeah. Don't worry.
Lantern Books, so the people that publish Bell's cookbook, claimed that it had not confirmed the validity of her cancer claims, as this was not required for her to write a cookbook.
Yeah.
So they were like, not our fucking thing.
Yeah. It's just right in between, like, cookbooks and fantasy.
Yeah.
The fiction section in a Barnes & Noble. Yeah.
So soon after, as the controversy was growing, the book would be withdrawn from sale, citing a lack of response from Bell relating to the media accusation. So they did reach out to her, the publishing company, and were like, what's going on? And
she didn't
respond. However, Penguin Publishing had, prior to the publication of the book, already quizzed and videotaped Bell on her cancer story, as it was recounted in the preface. So they knew that what she was saying in the preface may not be true.
Right.
This being the case, Penguin agreed to pay $30,000 to the Victorian Consumer Law Fund as a penalty for failing to validate the factual content of the book.
Okay.
So they took,
Penguin's always been good.
Yeah. Aren't they the same people that published the book that we got sent to us for free by author? Yeah.
Yeah. They're pretty open on their platform. I wouldn't say they're completely open, but they're pretty open.
Yeah. Well, that's noble, right, to do that. Yeah. Elle Australia magazine admitted that following a December 2014 story on Bell, that they had received but ultimately dismissed anonymous claims that she was fabricating her story. So they got told, like, hey, she might be lying, and they were like, well, it's fine.
It's okay. It's a success story.
Yeah.
Everybody loves a success story.
What?
Success story.
Yes.
I've only had one.
So Cosmopolitan admitted, again, the ones that gave her the award, that it too had received and dismissed a similar email. After finding out the claims of Bell being sick were false, Cosmopolitan decided not to strip Bell of her award, stating that she had been, quote, reader nominated and reader voted, end quote.
And that's all they care about. They care about selling readers. Magazines or articles. That's what they care about. They don't care if they're selling you a fake story.
Of course. And they're like, well, that's not up to us. That was the readers.
Yeah.
However, a month prior to the award, a Cosmopolitan associate editor stated that they, quote, put forward the nomination myself, end quote, indicating that the magazine, not the public, had been instrumental in promoting Bell's award.
Ew.
Liars! Liars! Gotcha!
Liar. Gotcha, bitch.
Bullshit. Is this Pineapple Express?
Yeah.
When James Franco and Seth Rogen go to Danny McBride's house and they confront him, and then he's like, I'm just gonna make a phone call my wife, and then Seth Rogen's like, nope, bullshit, liar. He says it. It's so funny. Sorry, headphone users. That was probably really loud.
Danny McBride's hilarious.
So funny. Okay, sorry, back to the story. A conventional cancer research professional would also go public around this time and stated that by failing to conduct basic fact-checking and providing unfiltered PR to Bell's untested claims, an uncritical media had also been complicit in her fraud.
Good job.
He's like, all you fucking dumbasses that believed her.
Yeah,
you didn't
right.
do your research.
Yeah.
You didn't know that you probably can't have all these cancers at the same fucking time, and if you did, you wouldn't live. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's not only that, but it's like, okay, you clearly were not a part of this coup, but you were easily duped.
Yeah.
Bamboozled, if you will.
Bamboozled. So once the controversy with the media surfaced, the whole pantry began removing any comments made on its Facebook page that questioned Bell's claims, asserting that these comments only added to, quote, the misinformation, end quote, of the initial Fairfax article. So they're deleting it so that no one would see it.
Yeah.
This would draw even more negative comments, obviously. Simultaneously, posts that Bell had made on her own Instagram account that made reference to her cancers or donations were all deleted.
She's trying to cover her tracks.
She is.
So that nobody comes after her legally, essentially. Mm-hmm.
Soon after, all posts would be deleted from Bell's and the Whole Pantry's Instagram accounts. Around the same time, individual postings about Bell's cancer and claims of having died briefly while under heart surgery were also being deleted by the administrator of her blog, quote, at the request of a user, end quote.
Why would a user give a shit? One user. Why? One user had a complaint, and now they're going to remove it?
She's like, you got to say it's reader voted. You got to say it's reader. Yeah, it's a reader requested.
It's all about the readers.
Accounts across all social media were very soon either abandoned, made private, or deleted entirely following
this. She tried to, like, sneak away.
Yeah. She's like, oh, well,
I'm sorry. Oh, no, just deleted in the night. Oh, yeah, no.
It didn't happen.
No, yeah.
Bell would create another Facebook account under the alias Harry Gibson, which was made private, but used to comment back at Facebook followers that questioned Bell or spoke to the media.
Oh my god.
Why would you use your same last name? I guess it's supposed to look like maybe a relative of hers.
A relative, yeah. Oh my god. Why? That's so
manipulative.
That's so childish.
It really is. In late April of 2015, Bell would give an interview to the Australian Women's Weekly, in which she admitted to having fabricated all of her cancer claims.
So she just came out and was like,
yes.
But good luck finding on me on social media. My name's totally not Henry.
Quote, no, none of it's true. I don't want forgiveness. I just think speaking out was the responsible thing to do. Above anything, I would like people to say, okay, she's human. She's obviously had a big life. She's respectfully come to the table and said what she's needed to say. And now it's time for her to grow and heal. End quote.
You don't get to dictate how people treat you.
No.
Not when you're not when you're in the public like that.
I would like it for people to just forgive me because I'm human.
I'm human and I made mistakes.
I stole millions of dollars.
From cancer patients.
God. That's just like the arrogance, right?
Out of control.
The interviewer would later write that Bell, quote, cries easily and muddles her words, end quote, and that she, quote, doesn't really understand how cancer works, end quote. Because it's not funny, but that's kind
it's of not funny, but it's funny.
Bell would attribute her deceit to her upbringing, and specifically to neglect by her now estranged mother. She claimed to have been forced to take care of herself and her brother since the age of 5. The interview would be described as an admission of deceit without expression of regret or apology.
No, she blames it on everyone else.
In a May 2015 interview with the same magazine, Bell's mother, Natalie, would refute the claims that Bell had made about her family, including the false claim that her brother had autism spectrum disorder.
She said that her brother had autism when he hadn't been diagnosed with autism?
Not at all. And she was saying, like, oh, I was left to take care of my brother with ASD at the age of 5. Like, how would anyone do that to me, kind of?
What?
It's
and
like
her mom's like, nah, she a liar, clearly.
It's literally
Come on.
It's this pile of fucking lies, like, on top of each other. Like, how do you even know what's true or what's not, you know?
We've talked about that in several other cases where people continue to lie to cover up their their murders or their, you know, the bad parts of them or whatever it is. And they've lied and they've lied and they've lied and they manipulated. But then they find the pendulum swing the other way where it's like, oh, I'm getting attention for confessing now.
Yeah, exactly.
Now
exactly.
It's like, oh, gosh, yeah, now I'm getting attention because I've had this horrible life. And what else am I supposed to do? Like, this is clearly I'm a product of my environment, mm-hmm. you know, like.
It's everyone's fault but mine.
Exactly.
Although she seemed pretty unwilling to apologize, Belle would agree to do another interview on 60 Minutes with Tara Brown.
Oh, my God.
She would state here, quote, I didn't trade in on my story or in other people's lives. I'm not trying to get away with anything, end quote. Then why'd you delete the shit? Why did you delete the shit? Leave it out. I'm not trying to get away with anything. Why are you hiding evidence?
God. Sorry. It's okay. You're clearly peeved at this person.
No, yeah.
Why?
Delete the shit.
The shit. Where's the receipts, Robin?
Yes. Now, okay, this is so funny. I'm so annoying over here. I'm like, we do one Instagram live, and I'm doing all these things visually that no one can see.
Oh, she was lightly clapping. I'm sure you could hear her.
Oh, I'm sure you could, but yeah. it's just funny. The fame has gone to my head.
Oh no, here she goes.
Mom told me that your son told our niece that we're famous.
Oh, really?
He told our niece, he's like, you know, my mom and Ken are famous. And she's like, really? I was like, that's so sweet.
Do you listeners know why he's saying that? It's because Kenna walks around the house saying that all the time. Don't
blame it. All right, Belle, don't blame it on me.
You're a product of your environment. You do. You walk around there, he's going to
get... He doesn't...
Famous.
When I say, like, we're pretty much famous, like, I'm obviously kidding. Yeah. He doesn't quite understand that yet. And so,
saying it satirically. So but that's so funny.
He probably tells people at school, like, aww. My mom and my aunt are famous.
So cute.
He's so sweet. Okay, so back to the interview with Tara Brown. During this interview, Belle was noted as being unable to be truthful about little things still, including her name and her age, which she claims to have changed several times.
Hmm.
When asked specifically how old she was, Belle responded, quote, that's probably a question we'll have to keep digging for, end quote.
Like, she doesn't even know.
Yeah, like, she's forgot because she's lied about it so many times.
I believe it.
Also coming out in that interview is Belle's revised story as of the interview, so mm-hmm. she is now changing her story again. She stated that in 2009, she met a man called Mark Johns, who told her he was an immunologist and neurologist. However, no record of him exists.
Hmm.
The following is Belle's explanation of this visit.
Oh, no.
He had come to my home and went through a series of tests, and this was dubbed integrative medicine.
So he comes to your home and he does some tests on you?
Mm, he does.
What sort of tests?
It was a box, a machine with lights on the front, and that machine was apparently German technology. There's two metal pads, one that goes below the chair and one that goes behind your back. And then that measures what I believe or remember to be frequencies.
And what were the results?
He said to me that I had a stage 4 brain tumor. And that I had approximately 4 months to live.
So again, that is from the 60-minute interview with Tara Brown. But I wanted to play this because if you search this interview, it's extremely eerie to see how much she really believes, like, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not she's faking that she really believed it, or if she really, truly believed at the time... And then something we'll hear a lot. She'll say, at the time, yeah. A lot. But it's like, you know, that long pause that she took. It was almost like she was trying to make herself teary-eyed, right? Yeah. Trying to make her voice break. It's very odd.
It's a, what do they call that? Like, pause for effect
kind of thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, if this is the true story, when you do recount information like someone giving you a diagnosis like that, it might make you stop for a second because you don't want to get choked up.
Yeah.
But
she didn't even do that, though.
Yeah.
She kind of just stood there sat there blankly.
Yeah, and I think if you watch the whole, you can find this whole thing on, it's just on YouTube. Tara will constantly challenge her and she'll be like, tell me the truth. yes or no. Tell me the truth. I need you to tell me the truth. You know what I mean? She keeps saying that. And then she's like, do you hear how ridiculous this sounds?
This sounds,
like,
yeah.
But no, Tara is a really great, she should be an interrogator, honestly.
Certainly sounded like she was being, like, it just sounds ridiculous that there's, like, this machine that has blinking lights it. Like, she's in some type of Scientology processing room or
exactly,
something.
Exactly, yeah. No, it's a weird version of the story, because there's plenty out there.
Test your whatever.
Probe.
Kelvin's. That's not the right term, but whatever they call it.
You know what it is.
Kelvin's is temperature, but still.
Test your temperature. That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
So Tara Brown would question why Bell originally stated that she got this diagnosis in the doctor's office rather than the, quote, real story that she told in her book.
Yeah.
So she had said at first, like, oh, I got diagnosed at a doctor's office. And now she's saying it was at her home, right? Her harm.
Yeah.
Bell responds to this, quote, because I think that being open and telling people the way that it happened would not be understood, and that people would be disappointed or angry for me, you know, not following what is the right way to go about this, end quote. So Tara asks, quote,
yeah.
So you lied because you feared you wouldn't be believed, is that what you're saying, end quote? To which Bell responds, quote, it's not what I'm saying, end quote. Then what the fuck are you saying? Like, it's this interview is infuriating, because it's like it's just a hamster wheel. Like, they're not getting anywhere because she won't admit to anything. She won't take accountability for anything.
It's just a continued loop of thought. There's no, like, definitive end.
There's no answers.
Yeah
it's just another lie to help maybe confuse you or steer the conversation in a way.
You know what? What's interesting about that is that I bet for a long time she got away with that pattern of behavior because people around her probably didn't talk to each other. Like,
yeah.
She would feed one lie to her mother, one to a teacher, one to a friend's parent.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. And that word would never get around. She doesn't understand the severity of her situation where nationally people are looking at her.
Yeah, and people talk.
And people talk. And people can be internet sleuths. And people can figure out this information. She thinks in that moment, in that interview, she's having a one-on-one conversation with someone that she thinks that she can manipulate.
Exactly. That's so true.
Instead of realizing that an entire nation is going to be watching this
episode
or whatever. Yeah.
That's so true. So, yeah, the entire interview is just extremely frustrating. And, I mean, you can find it online and watch it if you want. I watched, like, 5-10 minutes of it. I'm like, okay.
You're like, I'm done.
So,
yeah, could you imagine reading your entire book? Ugh.
No, really. It's probably infuriating. So in June of 2015, it was rumored that Bell had actually been given $45,000 to do this interview.
$45,000?
So that's why she did it. And that's why she was like, fuck it, I don't have to be truthful. I'm getting this money anyway.
Well, I would think that fuck's sake, she would send it to someone that she owes the money to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
An actual child with cancer.
Yeah. No, of course not. Consumer Affairs Victoria would bring legal action against Bell for allegedly breaking Australian consumer law. The regulators had stated that it conducted an in-depth investigation of Bell's activities and applied to Australia's federal court for leave to pursue legal action. On March 15th, 2017, Federal Court Justice Deborah Mortimer delivered the decision that, quote, most but not all, end quote, of the claims against Bell had been proven. Bell would not appear in court for the decision, but Justice Mortimer found that Bell's claims had been misleading and deceptive, and that, quote, Ms. Gibson had no reasonable basis to believe she had cancer from the time she began making these claims in public to promote the Whole Pantry book and the app in mid-2013, end quote.
Gibson?
Miss Gibson.
Bell Gibson?
Yeah.
Gibson?
Gibson. Yes.
Yeah, I bet she, okay, 2 points to make. A, was not going to sit in a courtroom full of people that probably believe that she was guilty.
Yes.
And two, I love the fact that certain circumstances lend for the judge to be like, I don't even give a fuck if you're not here. This is your sentence.
Yeah.
And this is how the court finds you.
There you go.
I love it.
Well, it's like, if you don't show up, it makes yourself look way more guilty.
Oh, I agree. But that's not always the case, though, right?
Of course not.
Yeah.
You know, in cases like this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've heard the story.
We know. However, there was not enough evidence to prove that Belle was not acting out of delusion, so the question of her mental health is still, like, up there.
Yeah.
In September of 2017, Belle would be fined $410,000 for making false claims about her donations to charity.
I bet she wished she had hung on to that $45,000 she got paid for that interview, but I bet she didn't.
I'm sure she did. During the ruling, Judge Mortimer ruled that Belle's dishonest conduct proved, quote, her relentless obsession with herself and what best serves her interest, end quote.
Throw the mic.
She added, quote, one of the clear demonstrations of the dishonesty and self-interest attending Miss Gibson's conduct was the fact that she and the company she controlled did not make any donations to the organizations she had mentioned in her publicity statements until public questioning of her claims, end quote.
Amber.
And I know I said conduct. I meant to say conduct.
Conduct.
Lastly, Judge Mortimer stated, quote, another explanation is that Miss Gibson remained under some kind of delusion that she had cancer. She may have had other psychological or psychiatric issues, end quote. Dun, dun, dun. As of April 2019, Belle had not yet paid the fines, and authorities were seeking power to charge her with contempt of court.
Good.
A new trial would be set for May 14th, 2019, and Belle would be facing an undetermined number of years if she could not attend. She has to be there this time.
Yeah.
As of mid-September 2019, Belle had still not paid, claiming to be broke, and Consumer Affairs Victoria were still seeking to enforce the penalty.
All you have to do is, like, sign up and be like, this is as much as I can pay every month. They don't ask you to have all of that money at once.
Yeah, like, exactly.
No, you pay it off little by little.
Payment plan.
Yeah, exactly. Or you get, like, I don't know if there's, like, loans. If anybody's an attorney out there, do you get loans for something like that?
Yeah, I mean, you might be able to. Well, I don't know. Maybe not. You're going to pay these fucking people back. You're not going to pay me back.
Right, exactly, yeah. I mean, like, a bail bondsman and stuff like that, like, that's different. That's to get you out.
That's true.
When it comes to payments like that, like, who takes care of that?
I think you would just have to sell your assets. Or file for bankruptcy.
That's true. They would probably have to look into her stuff. But you're telling me through all this time she's making all this money and she didn't buy a house, a car,
clothes,
rings, furniture, you know?
That's funny that you say that.
Oh.
A letter that was written in 2017 would later be released by the federal court. And Belle had stated that she was $170,000 in debt in this letter.
Mm-hmm.
And she had $5,000 to her name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's more than I have, so pay it.
I'm hella broke.
Fast forward to the year 2020, Belle had still not paid the fines and was essentially MIA in the media.
Oh.
She just took off.
Yeah.
On January 22nd, 2020, the Sheriff's Office of Victoria raided Belle's home in Northcote and would begin to seize items to try to pay off her fines.
Hell yeah.
The following day, a Shabo Media video from October of 2019 surfaced, in which Belle was wearing a headscarf and speaking partially in Oromo language, which is native to Ethiopia.
Interesting.
In the video, she was discussing the political situation in Ethiopia with an interviewer and referring to Ethiopia as, quote, back home, end quote.
What?
Like she was living there. She also professed to have been adopted by the Ethiopian community in Melbourne after volunteering for 4 years, calling the adoption a gift from Allah. However, on the same day the video surfaced, the president of the Australian Oromo Community Association in Victoria stated that Belle was not a registered volunteer.
Yeah, he's like, no.
No.
They also absolutely did not happen and it will never happen.
No, exactly. They also stated that Belle, quote, is not a community member and she's also not working with the community, end quote. He said that he had seen her at events maybe 2 or 3 times.
But she's...
And no one knew who she was.
She's specifically looking to victimize the community.
Of course. And she's also still lying about everything. Like, she's like, oh, well, now I'm part of this volunteer community and I have been for 4 years. It's like, no, you're still doing what you were doing, you know, 7 years ago.
What a fucking life. What a life to live. Like, you think that you can just chameleon your way into victimizing people.
It's manipulative.
It's
like, delusional. It really is.
Yeah.
So Belle's home would be again raided on May 21st, 2021, for the same reason of receiving things to pay off her debt. That's essentially the end of the story, but professionals have determined that Belle is most likely suffering from Munchausen by internet.
What?
I know, I knew you would be excited about that.
What is this?
So this is similar to fictitious disorder or Munchausen disorder, in which medically well individuals fake recognized illnesses in virtual environments such as online support groups, or now as we've seen it on TikTok or, you know, maybe it was Vine back then, Instagram, whatever.
She got the attention from the internet.
Yes.
Interesting.
While lying to receive medical attention is not a new concept, reports of users who deceive internet forum participants by portraying themselves as gravely ill or as victims of violence first appeared in the 90s. This is, of course, due to the relative newness of the internet back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. The specific internet pattern was named Munchausen by Internet in 1998 by psychiatrist Mark Feldman.
Ooh.
So it's really new.
Yeah.
New Zealand PC World Magazine called Munchausen by Internet Cybermunch. And those who posted online, cyber munchers. I'm sorry. Straight face. I'm looking for something to hang on to.
Okay. Sorry.
I just want to say...
Cyber munch?
Cyber munchers.
And cyber munchers.
I really want to go to New Zealand. I've always thought about going to New Zealand.
Yeah.
I looked recently. We have a bunch of listeners in New Zealand, and we really love you guys. Okay.
Yeah, straight up.
But cyber munchers is hilarious. Cyber munches. How would you
cyber
even munches. Say it?
Cyber munches?
Cyber munches. Oh, yeah, cyber munches.
I don't know. That sounds like Manchester, though.
I don't know.
Manchester. That's not even how you say it, but still.
Someone from New Zealand, please reach out to us.
Yeah, please reach out to us. But if you really, really could do us a giant favor and send us an audio clip of you saying cyber munchers.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
So, going back to cyber munches. A person may attempt to gain sympathy from a group whose sole reason for existence is to support others, such as a popular media star. Like, they have a following because they want, you know, whatever, they want to see them do well, you know? Mm-hmm. And lastly, in an article published by The Guardian, Steve Jones speculated that the anonymity of the internet impedes people's abilities to realize when someone's lying. So it's much easier to manipulate people via the internet, and that's why.
Interesting.
But yeah, that's all I have. That's Belle Gibson. As far as I know, she has not paid her debt yet, and she's still scheming.
Scheming in Ethiopia, apparently.
I don't know if she's...
She's in a, like, an aboriginal area.
No, I think she's still in Australia, and she's saying, like, oh, back home, like, she had lived there.
That's so strange.
Right? I know. It's a very odd story.
I've heard of this new term recently. It's
cybermunchers. Sorry.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Diagnosing a Killer.
Cybermunchers.
Cybermunchers. No, never mind. I'm not even going to go there.
It's been a long day. I'm sorry.
It's been a very long day.
Are you done?
That was a really interesting case.
Thank you.
It was. I like the opportunity on mental breakdowns where we get to just discuss wild other things about diagnosis that not necessarily pertain to murder, but other crimes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I kind of like to use the MBDs as a little loophole to talk about something interesting that maybe doesn't involve a murder. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really interesting.
Thank you.
And then, Munchausen by Internet.
Yeah. Never heard that before.
Wild. Never.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. Not only here, but on our live earlier. We had such a great time. And we will see you guys on Thursday with another case and Friday with our live again.
Yes.
So exciting. Right. Anything else?
No. Just share that link on our Instagram.
Yes.
I put a link out there earlier. I think it's been shared a few times.
But. Okay, cool. And yeah, definitely just take advantage of that $15 off. Why not?
Yeah, right? All right.
Okay, we'll see you guys later.
Love you.
Bye. If you want great tasting meals daily, but can't find the time to shop or even cook, we have the solution for you. Fresh Meal Plan is a convenient, easy way to create custom meals delivered right to your door. With hundreds of rotating meals each week, there's always something new to look forward to. Many of their meals are ready in 3 minutes or less, so you don't have to spend all night cooking. Just select your meals, heat, eat, and bon appetit. Click the link in our show notes today for an exclusive offer with Fresh Meal Plan and create the perfect menu for you.